have your Bibles this evening, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want to begin reading with the 7th verse, read through verse 16. If you ever want to study a good bit on the love of God and the love that we're to have for one another and our love for God and for His people, I encourage you to study 1 John. There's more written about love in this passage of Scripture in the book of 1 John than any other place in the Bible. I know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 speaks a great deal about charity and gives us a definition of charity and describes what charity is and what must be present in our lives if we're truly a people of charity. But 1 John, especially chapter 4, talks a great deal, 3 and 4, talks a great deal about the love of God. And that song that we just sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. To know that Jesus loves you is one of the greatest blessings that you'll ever have in this world. Amen. To know that Jesus loves me. To feel the love of God and to know the love of God is a great and a wonderful blessing. I've told about this before, but early in my ministry there was a lady that had come to church for a couple of years. She came with her grandfather, drove her grandfather from Alabama. We lived in Columbus. It was about 30 miles from where her grandfather lived and she lived, but she would bring her grandfather to church. She had 3 or 4 children. She was about 35 years old. And that lady just grew to, she had never been to church before, and she grew to realize something about the love of God. And I don't know that I've ever seen anybody that had a greater appreciation for the love of God than she did. Very poor person, a person that did not know much of any of the blessings, the natural blessings of this world, but she loved God, and she knew that God loved her. But she also knew there seemed to be something missing in all the time she came to church for 2 or 3 years. You could just tell there was a big piece of the puzzle that was missing. And she had heart problems, and they carried her to the hospital. And I got a call in the middle of the night one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, went to the hospital. And the lady was dying. She had been told that she was going to die within a year. And she was dying with her heart problems. And she was screaming that night in the hospital, and was dying, and they told her she probably wouldn't live through the night. Told her family that. But she was screaming, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. I know I'm going to hell. And that woman, when I got off the elevator, and though it was a long ways down to her room, I could hear her just screaming, please don't let me die. I know I'm going to hell. Just screaming that over and over. When I got in there and began to talk with her, she began to confess some things that I did not know. She had never been married. She had lived with a number of different men. The man that she was living with right then was a man who had fathered one of the children that she had. I thought that they had always been married. I just didn't know all the situation, but she was not married to him. And she began to tell me about her never having been married and having children by different men, and that she knew that she was going to hell because of the way she had lived. All I had ever seen in the 2 or 3 years I had been around her, all I had ever seen was something that was much different than what she was describing. But she knew she deserved eternal hell. And she felt that she was going to hell. She knew she was fixing to die. And can you imagine thinking you're fixing to die this night and you know you're going to hell? That's what that woman was experiencing that night. Yeah. And I began to take the Word of God and try to speak to her from God's Word about the fact that we are sinners, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I began to talk to her about the fact that I had seen the fruit of the Spirit of God in her life. That I had seen her repeatedly. I'd seen her weep in the house of God. I'd seen her when it would be the last song and she would want to join the church, but she would not walk down the aisle. I'd seen her want to be a part of the church, and I'd seen her living the 3 years I had known her. Everything I knew about her was very godly living. Of course, I didn't know about all those hidden things in her life. But that woman, after about 2 hours, she began to understand the only reason that she could be having that feeling and the fruit of the Spirit in her life, the only reason that she could be loving God. And I asked her, "Do you love God?" "Yes, I love God. But God can't love me because I'm so wretched." And she began to understand the love of God and the grace of God. And I began to talk to her from the Word of God, and God began to open her eyes, and she knew that she was a child of God. And she knew that by the grace of God, that when she died, she was going to heaven. And she knew it was by the grace of God, because she knew she didn't deserve to go to heaven. And she just began to sing, and I didn't ask her to, but she began to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And the tears of horror and the screaming of horror turned into tears of joy. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." She sang that song. When I left the hospital about 6 o'clock that morning, we were having a meeting that morning at the church, a minister's meeting. When I left the hospital about 6 o'clock that morning to go to the church, she was singing as loud as she could, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Don't you know that was I've never seen as stark a contrast in the hell that somebody was in to some heaven on earth. I've never seen anybody go from realizing and knowing that they deserve eternal hell to knowing that they were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Never seen that big a contrast as that night. And she died about 7 o'clock that morning. The last thing she did, she was still singing. When her heart stopped, she was singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. For the Bible tells me so." You know, to know that we don't deserve the love of God. Yeah. To know that we're wretched sinners, and to know that there's nothing good in us except what God has put in us, and to know that we deserve eternal hell, and then to know what God has done for us in saving us from our sins, that's the greatest knowledge that we'll ever have in this world. Amen. And I want to read now from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. The Word of God says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." If you love God, and if you love the people of God, that's an unmistakable evidence you've been born of the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Everybody that loves God and loves the people of God, they've been born of the Spirit of God. That's taught in the previous chapter. I want to back up just a moment to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice 1 John 3, 14. The Word of God, and this is one of the scriptures that we went to that night, because I asked her, I said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, you know I love you, Brother Billy." "Do you love the church?" "Oh, I love the church with all of my heart. I love the people there. I love the Word of God and the church of God." I went to this scripture in 1 John 3, 14, where the Word of God says in 1 John 3, 14, what are the first two words there? What are the first two words? "We know." "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." If you love the brethren, that's an unmistakable evidence that you've been born of the Spirit of God. You didn't start loving God and then became a child of God. You love God, and 1 John 4:19 says, we love God. Why? Because He first loved us. The only reason you love God and love the people of God is because you've been born of the Spirit of God. It's God in you that causes you to love God and love the people of God. So we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Go back now to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, beginning in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another." What does that mean? Just feel a fuzzy feeling in your heart? Or does it mean show love? Show love. Show love for God. Show love for your brethren. If you don't love God, you don't love the people of God, you don't love the house of God, you're in death. You're separated from God. You may be a dead alien sinner, or you may be a child of God that's gone so far away from God, you've been cut off from the love of God and the fellowship of God. But either way, if you don't love God and don't love the people of God, if you're not showing your love to God for God, then you don't love God. You're not loving God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. What does that mean? In this was manifested the love of God toward us. What does that word manifest mean? Or it means to show and to reveal. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now listen carefully to verse 16. This is the text that's on my heart. 1 John chapter 4, look carefully at verse 16. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. You hear that? What does he say here? We have known. Have you ever known the love that God has to you? Have you ever believed? Did you know, I know some people right now, they don't believe that God loves them. They don't feel the love of God. They don't think that God could love them. That was the way that woman that I mentioned earlier, that was what she felt. God can't love me. I'm a wretched sinner. Brethren, God does love His people. In spite of their sin, God loves us in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the fact that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God loves us because of the love, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God loves us. Now listen, in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I want you to tell me some ways that you know the love of God. Tell me some things that God has done that causes you to know that God loves us. What has God ever done that causes you to know? Well, first of all, I want to mention just two or three things, and then I want to get down to things that are happening in our lives today. But right now, I want to think about things that God has done in the past. We look again at the text. The text says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Tell me some ways. What has God ever done that proves He loves us? Well, John 3:16, the most familiar scripture in all the Bible, probably to most Christians, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that tell us about the love of God? Can we say we have both known and believed the love of God because God has loved us? We see the love of God. We have both known and believed the love that God hath to us because I look back and I know that Jesus gave His life. I know that God gave His only begotten Son. God so loved us that He what? What's the next word? That He gave. That's what the love of God did. God gave His only begotten Son. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us. What does that word commend His love toward us? It means show again or manifest His love. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Were we good people and that's what caused Christ to die for us? Did God look down through the annals of time and say, well, now, He's going to be so good, so I'm going to choose Him? That's not at all the reason that God chose us. That's not the reason that Christ died for us. It's not because of our good works, but it's because of the amazing grace of God. Amen. And the Scripture says here, We have known and believed the love that God has toward us. My question to you tonight is, do you know and do you believe the love that God has toward you? Do you believe what Jesus has done for you? Do you believe what the Father has done for you? If you know and believe the love that God has toward you, what will you do? Listen carefully to my question. If you can honestly say what John did here when he says, I have known, we have known and believed the love that God has toward us, what will that cause you to do if you know and you believe that God has shown you love, Sister Cindy? You'll love the brethren. You'll love the brethren. You'll love God, yes, but don't tell me you love God and then don't love the brethren. You know, there are some people that are like David. They say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Brother Richard, in his prayer, he thanked God for the family, his natural family, and he thanked God for the church family, and he thanked God that we come together to worship God and to enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. Is the love of the brethren, is that a great part of our love for God? And if you don't love to go to God's house, if you're not anxious to go to God's house, it's because there's something wrong with your love and appreciation for God's love for you. You don't love the brethren if you don't want to be in God's house. You don't love the brethren if being in God's house and being with God's people is not very important. We have known and believed the love of God. We've known that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you comprehend such a thing as that? Can you explain the love of God? Can you explain how God, while we were yet sinners, while we hated God, Jesus died for us? I can't explain that. Well, I heard on the radio this morning, I think it was D. James Kennedy, his sermon this morning, he was saying that a mother came to him and said, my 6-year-old child can't understand how God can love us. And I want you to help me understand because I can't find the words to explain to my 6-year-old child how God can love us. You know what he said? He said, well, I know a 60-year-old man that can't explain why God loves us. No, a 6-year-old child can't fully comprehend it. I can't comprehend it, and you can't comprehend it. But what does John say here in 1 John 4:16? He says, we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. I don't understand it. I don't really comprehend how God can love me. It's like the songwriter says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. I cannot explain to you the grace of God. I cannot explain to you the love of God. I can't explain to you why He would save anybody. I don't understand why everybody is not destined to eternal hell. I don't understand that, but I know what God's Word says, and I know what God says about God, and I know what the Spirit of God bears witness in my heart, is that God's Word is true, and God does love us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our sin. Explain the grace of God, I can't do it. Can I come up with words that G-R-A-C-E and tell you a lot of pretty pictures? Yes, I can do all that, but you can't comprehend the love of God. You cannot fully explain the love of God. The love of God is wonderful. And when you understand the love of God and you know that God loves you, little Walker and the different children, as they were singing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, and singing it from their heart. I looked out over the congregation during the song service, and it's amazing to me that some people can sit around and talk during the worship service, that we can be singing songs of praise, and some don't open their mouth and don't seem to even be present, except their body is here, but their mind and the spirit is somewhere else, and they have very little zeal and very little love for God. I'll tell you, you don't see and you don't know the love of God if you're not singing in the spirit and singing with understanding. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're not excited about God and worshiping God and praising God, it's because you don't see and know the love God has for you. If somebody deposits $1,000 to your checking account in the morning, are you going to get excited about it? If someone deposits $1,000 into your checking account in the morning, are you going to get excited? Might you squeal and holler and say yay and call everybody and tell them what somebody's done for you?
Brethren, God has done far more for us than put $1,000 or $10,000. He's done more for me every day than put $1,000 in my account every day. Every day. Now, I want you to remember this. This text does not say, I want you to look carefully at the text. The text does not say, we have known and believed the love that God had to us. Now, so far, all I've been talking about is the love that God had to us in sending His only begotten Son. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to draw a point. I'm trying to make a point that we can look back and say, I can see the love of God because He gave His only begotten Son. I can look back and I can see the love of God because He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can look back and see He had love for me because though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be rich. I can look back and talk about all the love of God that was manifest at Calvary, but I'm talking about the Word of God says here, not we can look and see and know the love God had for us, but what does the text say? Look at the text again. The text is better than that. The text is better than just talking about what God had for you at Calvary, the love God had for you at Calvary. The text says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath.
Amen.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to look back and see the love of God that was manifest at Calvary. It's good to look back before the foundation of the world and see the love that God had for us back there. But I want us to look right now and think about the love that God hath for us right now. And that's what John is writing about. John is not just writing about the love God had for us before the foundation of the world, or the love God had for us at Calvary. He's writing about the love that God has for us right now, the love God is showing for us right now, not just the love He's going to show for us in the future when we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. But listen, brethren, every day God is showing His love for us right now. Right now, God is showing His love for you. For you. Did David see that even in the Old Testament? Did he say, you know that songwriter when he wrote those words, Jesus loved me. This I know. Is that what he said? No. What does he say? Jesus loves me right now. He has love for me right now. He's showing me love right now. David says this. David says, the Lord was my sheep, and He shed His blood for me at Calvary. Is that what he's talking about in that 23rd Psalm? The Lord was the sheep. He wrote about it in Isaiah 53 about the lamb that was led to the slaughter. He wrote about it there, but in Psalm 23, he's not talking about the love of God that was manifest at Calvary. He's talking about the love of God he sees right now in his life. He says, the Lord, what's the next word in the Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord, what? Is. Now you see what John's talking about, 1 John 4:16. He says, we have both known and believed the love that God, what's the next word? Hath right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes all the way through down everything he's talking about, except maybe the last part of the last verse. Everything in Psalm 23 is talking about the love of God being shown to me right now. Listen, brethren, it's something to be excited about what God has done for you in the days gone by. But it's also wonderful to think about what God is doing for you right now, what God shall do for you in the future.
Amen.
I want somebody to just tell me, what has God done for you today? What has God done? Brother John, I'm just going to go across this congregation. You're going to tell me, what has God done for you today?
Giving me life.
He gave you life. You got up this morning and all your family woke up this morning. Let me tell you something, brethren. As one who woke up and his child was dead, that's the first blessing every one of you ought to get on your knees and thank God for.
Yeah.
God loved me today. He blessed my family to live through another night. He blessed me and my family to be alive. All right, that's something. Well, tell me something else. I'm just going to stay with you just a second.
Provided for us a church home, a church family.
Is that a blessing? Is that a blessing, Brother John? To be able to come into the house of God and feel like truth is being preached and taught from God's Word? How big a blessing is that? Let me tell you something, brethren. I get calls every week from people all around. Their souls are weeping and crying because the church they're part of no longer stands for the truth of God's Word.
Yeah.
They're living in hell. They're weeping and crying and saying, how could we get to the point we're at today? Let me tell you something. Being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ that still loves God today is a wonderful blessing we have today. It's the love that God has towards you today. Sister Simi, tell me a blessing you have today. All right, it brought you safely home. Brother Richard, tell me something God's done for you today.
Our health.
Okay, your health.
Health and the desire to come to church.
The desire to come to church. Did you know there are a lot of people that don't desire to come to church? They don't care. They look for excuses. It's absolutely amazing the difference in people. There are some people that in spite of all their troubles and problems, what do? They come to God's house. There are other people that in spite of all their blessings, they stay home. They just are not interested. They're cold. They're lukewarm. They're indifferent. It's a blessing to desire to be in God's house.
Yeah.
Brother David, what's God done for you today? Hath. We have both known and believed the love that God hath toward us. What's He done for you today?
He fed my body. He gave me a meal today.
Yes.
He gave me rest this evening.
Yes.
Gave me a companion that loves me, cares for me.
Is that a blessing? We're to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We take it all for granted. To be able to have food. There are people in this world that are hungry tonight. There are parents that their children are hungry. There are people that don't have food. God has given you this day your daily bread. He's given you rest to be able to lay down, have a bed to lay on, and be able to get some rest during the afternoon. To have a wife that loves you. All of that's a blessing. You, Sister Jane could be gone right now. How would you feel tonight?
Lost.
Yes, lost. What's God done for you, Brother Kelvin? What's God done for you today?
Blessed me with an understanding wife. So we were able to go out today and we all went and rode our bikes.
All right.
Exercise.
All right. Be able to get out, ride the bicycles as a family. Is that a blessing? To have a family to get out and come and worship together and then do things during the afternoon. One family told me when I got here tonight, I said, I was glad to see that y'all had done a lot of magazines during the afternoon. He said, well, we've decided that on Sundays it's easier just to stay in town all day, work on the Trumpet of Truth and be with our family, go out to Laura Walker State Park, go to the playground out there, just spend the whole day just doing things as a family. Isn't that a great blessing? Family, doing things as a family. It's a great blessing. Be in the house of God. Worship together. Pray together. Play together. All that's important. It's a great blessing that God has given to you. What's the text say? We have known and believed. Look again at the text in 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love that God had. Did He have? Did He used to have great love for you? Did He have love for you a long time ago? Did He have love for you before the foundation of the world? Did He have love for you back there at Calvary? Yes. But what does He do? Right now, He has love for you. In fact, is He going to show love for you in the future? Is God going to show love for you in the future? One of the most wonderful things that's ever going to happen, and I look forward to this, is the final resurrection. One day, Jesus is going to come back to this earth and the whole family of God, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe, the whole body of Christ, all the redeemed family of God are going to be raised from the dust of the earth and going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Is that future love that He's going to show toward us?
Amen.
We're going to be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we're going to be carried home to be with the Lord forever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
What does God say in Jeremiah 31:5? He says, I have loved thee with what? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I loved you before the foundation of the world. I loved you back there at Calvary. I love you today. I'm showing you my love today. And I'm going to show you my love as long as you live. Even if it sometimes is chastening you, I'm still showing you my love even in my chastening, and I'm going to love you in that final resurrection. I'll never stop loving you. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I thank God. I thank God that we can say, I hope we can say, I've known and believed the love that God hath.
today the love that God hath to us. May God help us. I encourage you to go home and study more about the love of God, because we haven't scratched the surface on the love that God is showing to us every day.